live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it's about that time. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports on this Monday, October 28th, 2019. Michigan State fans, you already know what's coming. This will not be a fun show. Not at all. It won't be happy. It won't be joyous. I'll try to sprinkle in that here and there. But for the most part, this will be a show that will be downright ugly. Just like on Saturday, cold and rainy conditions throughout the afternoon and into the evening, as Michigan State football got completely embarrassed at the hands of Penn State. That was tough to watch on so many different levels. And, you know, you have a bad team. Michigan State right now, let's just call it like it is. This is a bad football team. So you combine that with cold and rainy conditions. I mean, wasn't it sad looking up in the stands at Spartan Stadium and seeing really nobody there? Just a few loyal Michigan State football fans who decided to just stick around and show some kind of support to this very awful football team. I got a few things to say about that game and about where Michigan State football goes from here now. It's a weird schedule because, you know, Michigan State football now embarks on yet another bye week. I believe something crazy like Michigan State has only played one football game in 27 days. Just a weird schedule for Michigan State right now. But after yet another disappointing embarrassment, I think that MSU fans everywhere are looking at this bye and saying, thank goodness. I don't want to see another week this soon of Michigan State football because they are just so bad.
Is there some way to get a bye week every week until the season ends?
I know, I wish, right, Jack?
Just forfeit all the rest of the games?
Jack Irwin behind the glass. Yeah, this is ugly right now. And I think we are seeing the end of the Mark D'Antonio era. I don't think I'm breaking news in saying that. I think everybody just about agrees with that. You can feel it. Nobody wants to really address that right now because we still got games to play. Of course, Mark D'Antonio. I think it's so funny to me how some people out there, fans out there, are demanding Mark D'Antonio say something that alludes to maybe this being his final season. Even if he is thinking that, and even if he's made up his mind, you think Coach D is going to say that with games left on the schedule? He's not going to go out like that. He's going to go out, especially if he says that. And you know what will players think on the team right now? If Mark D'Antonio was to come out right now and say that, yeah, this is my farewell tour, it's basically saying, yeah, I'm waving a white flag on this season. I'm done after this year. Players would feel some type of way. You have to, I don't know how you do it. It's mission impossible right now. But you have to find a way to inspire these young men because right now, it's tough to do that. So we'll talk a lot of what happened, a lot about what happened on Saturday inside of Spartan Stadium. I'm going to touch on MSU Madness. That was a fun event. Always a great time anytime I get to rock the mic and MC that thing. Fun stuff. Fun stuff on Friday night. That was the light for your weekend, Michigan State fans, as we celebrated the start of the Michigan State men's and women's basketball seasons, both starting this week. Tomorrow, the Michigan State women's basketball team We'll be kicking off the season against Ferris State. And then on, what is it? I may have my days mixed up. I believe tomorrow is the women, and then Wednesday is the men, as the men will open up against Albion. So we'll talk some MSU madness for you. I'll give you some insight as to what my experience was like now in my fourth year emceeing that thing. I got a chance to check out, to see some of you current sports listeners out there who yelled from the rafters as I was on the court. Always great seeing our listeners up close and personal. So we'll touch on MSU madness, and also how about the Michigan Wolverines getting a win over Notre Dame? No, that does not change my perception on what is happening out in Ann Arbor when it comes to Jim Harbaugh leading that squad. I think most feel that way, but I did see some delusional Michigan fans out there trying to draw way too much stock off of that blowout win over the Fighting Irish. Okay, so 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also weigh in via social media at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch the live stream there, and you can comment below that live stream, and you can tweet me, of course, at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. All right, let's just start here. Get out the way. Michigan State football losing at the hands of Penn State on Saturday afternoon inside of Spartan Stadium. That was a 28-7 final as Michigan State now drops to 4-4 on the season. Brian Lewerke was 16-34 for 165 yards, one INT. Sean Clifford, quarterback for Penn State, was 18-32. He threw for 189 yards, had four touchdowns, threw one pick. And for Michigan State, concerning the quarterback situation, for those who stuck around or continued to watch into the fourth quarter, you guys know that Mark D'Antonio decided to experiment a bit, and he threw in Rocky Lombardi and Theo Day. Rocky Lombardi threw six passes for 5 yards. He was 1 for 6 for 5 yards. Theo Day came in. He threw three passes. He was 2 of 3 for 12 yards. So Rocky also threw an interception. When it comes to the rushing attack, Elijah Collins led the rushing attack for Michigan State. 17 carries for 53 yards. Jorney Brown led the rush attack for Penn State. 12 carries for 45 yards. And K.J. Hamler, he had 5 catches for 57 yards and 1 touchdown. But Pat Freiermuth, the Penn State tight end, he's a stud, man. He's getting high reviews, too. Many people believe that he's going to be a high pick in the NFL draft come next summer. He had 5 catches for 60 yards and 3 touchdowns. More on Michigan State football in a moment. Michigan football just laid down the hammer against Notre Dame later on that night. A 45-14 drubbing of the Fighting Irish, as the Michigan Wolverines now improved to 6-2 on the season, 5-0, a perfect 5-0 at home. Shea Patterson was 6 of 12 for 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. Ian Book for Notre Dame was just 8 of 25 for 73 yards, 1 TD. Important to note that in both the Michigan State and Penn State game and Michigan and Notre Dame, the conditions were absolutely horrid due to rain throughout the day. Michigan State's rushing attack, Hassan Haskins actually led the rushing attack with 20 carries for 149 yards, but Zach Charbonnet is the running back for the Wolverines who found the end zone not once but twice. He had 15 carries for 74 yards and, again, two touchdowns. So I'll be touching on Michigan later on this hour as well. MSU Madness, Friday night. Always a fun night when you have MSU Madness celebrating the men's and women's basketball teams, marking the official start of the 2019-2020 season. The 2019-2020 men's and women's basketball teams were announced with each player representing a different superhero. It was a superhero theme, an Avengers superhero theme for Friday night. Susie Merchant came out on a really, really nice motorcycle dressed as the Black Widow, while men's head basketball coach Tom Izzo, he came out as the Incredible Hulk. Yeah, pretty funny costume, too. He was on stilts. The costume was absolutely huge, and he joked. Again, I'll have more on MSU Madness later on, but he was joking with Marcus Bingham, saying that this is the first time I've had the opportunity to look down at you. So, also, the 2019 Final Four banner was raised, and the night was capped off with scrimmages from both squads. So the men's basketball season opens tomorrow, hosting Albion College in an exhibition game at the Breslin Center. That will be a 7 p.m. tip time. And also keep it locked to Current Sports tomorrow, because we will be giving away tickets to that game live here on the show. And actually, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets for every home MSU men's basketball game. So opportunity for you guys to win tickets throughout the season here on Current Sports. The exhibition year for the MSU women's basketball team will start on Wednesday against Ferris State. So the regular season for the men, though, this is important to note, November 5th, next week Tuesday, as the number one team in the nation will play number two, Kentucky Spartans versus Wildcats in the State Farm Champions Classic on ESPN. That game will be played in what many consider to be the mecca of basketball at MSG, Madison Square Garden in New York City. All right, MSU hockey. 3 goals in the first 6:48 of the opening period helped the Michigan State hockey team skate past Colorado College 5-1 on Saturday night at the Broadmoor World Arena. 4 different Spartans had multiple points, led by Patrick Kortarenko, who had 3 assists, while John Letheman, he made 35 saves as the Spartans, sitting at 2-2, earned the series split. All right, Michigan State volleyball dropped its third match. All 2 opponents ranked in the top 10 when it fell to number 7 Minnesota, 3-1 at Jenison Fieldhouse yesterday afternoon. The Spartans, who fell to 13-7 on the year, 4-6 in the Big Ten, have seen 6 of their 7 losses this season come to teams in the AVCA Top 25, so playing against some legit competition, including 5 of its 6 losses in conference play. The Golden Gophers tried to put MSU away with large leads in 3 of the 4 sets, but MSU came back to make things tight for Minnesota. So MSU has dropped 3 straight. Number 8 Penn State, number 6 Wisconsin, and now number 7 Minnesota has fallen to Penn State both home and away this year, and also dropped a match at number 6 Nebraska. All right, Michigan State men's soccer suffered a 1-0 heartbreaking loss at Northwestern on Friday night at NU's Laney and Sharon Martin Stadium in a hard-fought battle. The Wildcats scored in the 90th minute after a scrum in the box following a long throw-in into the box. The ball bounced and was deflected off of several players before bouncing to NU Matt Motorwell, who put it in the back of the net with just 42 seconds left on the clock. MSU was unable to get a shot off in the waning moments of the match. That's a heartbreaker. Michigan State women's soccer was edged by number 21 Rutgers 3-2 on yesterday afternoon during senior day. MSU falls to 8-9-1 on the season with a 1-8-1 mark in Big Ten play. Rutgers improves to 14-2-2 overall, 8-2-1 in Big Ten games. Prior to the game, Michigan State head coach Tom Saxton and the team honored 12 seniors for senior day. All 12 seniors were able to see game action to commemorate their dedication to Spartan soccer. MSU had a 12-10 shot advantage and a 6-2 edge in corner kicks. And the Detroit Lions improved to 3-3-1 on the year with a 31-26 final At Ford Field yesterday, Matthew Stafford was 25 of 32. He threw for 342 yards, had three touchdowns and one pick. For New York, Daniel Jones was 28 of 41 for 332. He actually did throw four touchdowns, but the Giants falling to 2-6 on the year, 1-3 away. Just a bad football team right now. The Giants lose. So congratulations to the Lions. That's awesome stuff there. And the Detroit Red Wings have lost now 8 straight. 5-4, your final last night against the St. Louis Blues. The Wings now fall to 3-8-1 on the young season. And my Detroit Pistons will hopefully finally get a win inside of Little Caesars Arena as they will play host to the Indiana Pacers, a team that they did beat earlier this year, at 7 p.m. So Pacers-Pistons tonight, 7 p.m. at LCA. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can be a part of the show. I'm sure there are many Spartan fans that need to get some things off the chest after watching what you watched, what you witnessed on Saturday, and what you've been witnessing really all year. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here we go. Michigan State is going to win this game. Penn State is favored by 6.5 points. So, almost a touchdown. I think Penn State is going to win this game because I don't trust Michigan State's offense, especially in these rainy conditions.
Fake the journey. Brown, strike down the middle. Freiermuth, touchdown. Had a strange year. Started out great, made his first 7. He's 4 out of 10 since. And that one is blocked. Shaka Tony swatted it out of the air, and Keaton Ellis picks it up. He gets yanked down on the near sideline. Clifford on the run. Wide open, KJ Hamler. Touchdown, Penn State. And to get a carry for all four of their running backs in the rotation. Quarterback draw. And as we said, definitely go for two in this situation. Sean Clifford runs it in.
Alec, I am going with the Michigan Wolverines to beat the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I think they get a win here. I don't know. I got no numbers to back this up. I got no stats to throw at you. I am purely going off of my gut and my instinct in this game. Michigan is somehow, some way, going to win that game tomorrow.
Sherman has got it again, and he's got a crease. Heading for the corner. And forced out inside the 5. Jalen Elliott saved a touchdown, but the Wolverines are threatening. Sherman. Completed passes yet for Patterson, but Haskins has been the weapon, and he's in the secondary. Hurling tacklers and knocked down at the Notre Dame 40. Overhead view is Charbonnet. Bangs forward. Touchdown, Michigan. Dominating the Irish here. Oh, Patterson pump faking. Why not throw to the end zone? Collins. Touchdown. Wilson. The tackle into the secondary, has some blockers, cuts it back and scores! and Michigan is mauling Notre Dame.
All right, happy Monday to you guys. Michigan State fans, I'm sorry. Tough weekend for you. I know. And it just adds insult to injury, too, when the team down the road does what they did on the same day, right? You know, when Michigan State, anytime Michigan State loses, especially in a blowout, and then the team down the road wins in a blowout, it hurts. Just stings a bit more. And now, you heard some of my thoughts on Friday's show. I am rarely right, but when I am, hey, I sometimes toot my own horn. I didn't have any insight into that Michigan and Notre Dame game, as you heard. I just went with my gut there. I don't believe that Notre Dame is a great team. And does this change thoughts and perceptions of Jim Harbaugh right now? No, not at all. You know, some people are calling that a signature victory. Stop it. Just stop it. You're reaching. You're really reaching, but I'm not.
How's that not a signature victory?
Jack, Notre Dame is not that good. Signature victory for me is a win that means something in the grand scheme of your season. Beating Notre Dame does nothing for you. It bumps you a few notches up in the AP, maybe, but other than that, it's like, okay, cool. That's not a signature. I think people just throw around the word signature way too much in sports. That's an overused word in sports.
So I'll ask you the same question I asked Rico Beard then. So in Jim Harbaugh's first year at Stanford, when they finished 8-5, but he mauled USC like 55-16 or whatever it was, and that was Pete Carroll when they were on top of the world, that wasn't a signature win?
Maybe then. I don't know. Different expectations, different schools, man. You know, if you're Michigan, you got bigger fish to fry than beating Notre Dame.
Well,
I don't know. I just look at that win like, okay, cool, you won. But it doesn't change anything about your season. I'm sure when that happened when he was at Stanford, Jack, I mean, that was big for the program, for the school, for the season. This does nothing for Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, you're right that it does nothing because their season's already over and that they have two Big Ten losses. But, I mean, I don't know. I didn't give them any chance going into that game to beat Notre Dame, so I guess I disagreed with you on that. But I feel like if for me at least, how I've always defined signature wins, if I were to call that a non-signature win for Jim Harbaugh, I just think I'd be moving the goalposts. That's a signature win.
I think that the expectations are so low right now in the Jim Harbaugh era that any win over a team that's ranked at this point is a signature victory. The expectations are just so low. The bar is so low. Oh, yeah, we'll call that a signature victory.
I mean, that's to date, that's absolutely his best win he's had at Michigan.
I agree with that. I agree with that, man, because he's beating nobody. Yeah, but we'll do some more touching on Michigan later on this hour. I know, Spartan fans, that was tough to watch on Saturday. And, you know, as I was prepping this morning around 8 a.m., I was just thinking to myself, what can I say? You know, is there anything positive I can say to you all here on October 28th? After witnessing what we witnessed on Saturday, is there anything that I can touch on that will make you feel somewhat happy about anything you saw on Saturday? And you know what? I could come up with nothing.
I have an idea.
Do you, Jack?
Yeah, we spend the rest of the hour talking about who we want as the next coach at Michigan State University.
See, and we'll do
that. That's all I can do, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, because we all know, we all feel it. I know you're having conversations at the water cooler today. This is Mark D'Antonio's final year. And you know what? There was one quote that he had after that horrific performance against Penn State when he walked into the Tom and Loopy Izzo Media Center and addressed the media. There was one quote where I said, yep, there's got to be some big change here. And yep, I feel like Coach D knows. He's not going to come out and directly say it, but Coach D knows that this is his swan song. And that was when he said that, oh, what was the exact quote? I should have cut it up for today's show.
It's the record, right? You're talking about how
he said at least we're not 2-7.
Yeah, the beauty is we're 4-4, not 2-7.
Yeah, not 2-7. I said, what? Is that where we have come to in 2019?
Yes.
Is this where we really are?
Yes.
With this program right now, Jack?
Yes.
Because a statement like that tells me that you've gotten complacent and you are trying to justify the garbage that we are seeing every single week now with this team. You're trying to justify and let everybody know that, hey, it could be worse. Like, are you kidding me? You know, my, oh, my, how the mighty have fallen when it comes to Michigan State football. You know, and just looking at numbers, you know, I've been reading numbers all morning of publications out there that are trying to put together how Michigan State football has come to this point. You know, one of the big numbers that stood out to me is that since the college football playoff year, Michigan State is 24-23. 24-23 since the college football playoff year. And I think why, you know, part of the reason why it's so heightened this year, why we feel like, okay, this also may be Mark D'Antonio's final year, this is another reason, is because, you know, there are really no excuses now. Now, I felt like in recent past here, there was something you could bring up and say to yourself, okay, but Brian Lewerke had an injured arm. Brian was hurt. I would like to see this offense if Brian Lewerke is healthy. Or, you know what? Oh, 3-9 year. Well, years like that happen, right? It happens sometimes. You know, Mark rebounds. He's had a tendency to rebound, right? You know, we've had something that we can look at and say to yourself that, okay, if this or that happens, then we will be a better team come next season. This year, the excuses are out the window.
I tried to warn you on Lewerke. That's all I'll say.
Excuses are out the window, Jack.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
This season, there's nothing you can bring up that gives Mark D'Antonio some ammo where you say to yourself, okay, I'll let him slide on this. No, you can't let him slide on any of this. And it's only amplified. We keep harping on this too because it's a reality. And it needs to be brought up. Because Mark D'Antonio tried to tell us basically that he's the smartest guy in the room. I'm smarter than you. I know what I'm doing. If I just reshuffle some things and not fire anybody, I'm going to show you that this was the right move and we're going to win games. And that whole musical chairs experiment has totally failed. And so many mistakes against Penn State, because it would be a different thing if Michigan State was just competitive, because it's Penn State, okay? Penn State, say what you will about James Franklin and that program, they are still that's still a highly ranked team right now. That's still a top 10 program. We expected Michigan State to lose that game. We all did. But it's how you lose. If Michigan State looked competitive in this recent losing streak at some point, okay, maybe some of you out there will give Mark D'Antonio the benefit of the doubt. But when you're not competitive and you're getting blown out, it's how you lose these games. It's how you're losing these games. When you're getting blown out and seeing these mental errors and mental mistakes happen week after week after week, and when your team does not look prepared, that's on you and your coaching staff. And it's also on the players. I'm not letting the players off the hook here either. This is a collective sobbing here.
There's not one man you can point to and put it all on his shoulders. But, you know, when it's this bad, the head coach takes the brunt of the blame. This is on Coach D. And Mark, you know, and it's always ugly, right? When for most of the time, it's ugly. When you have a coach who has had the most success in comparison to his predecessors, elevating the program, putting it on a national stage, all of the success that Coach D has had, the conference championships, the Rose Bowl win, college football playoff appearance, Cotton Bowl win. I mean, when you've had that kind of success, most of the time, when you see other coaches who have done this in other programs, it ends ugly. It's unfortunate, but it's a reality. Most of the time, it ends ugly. And right now, this thing is ugly. And you look at some of the specifics of that game. You know, I look at Sowards. I don't know what the brother was thinking. Deciding to get underneath the football and field that catch near the five. Let that thing bounce, especially in the conditions that Michigan State and Penn State played in on Saturday. An ugly, rainy, muddy game, and you're going to try to get under the football on the five? Really? And then Josh Butler, I don't want to take anything away from the throw that Sean Clifford made. That was a beautiful, beautiful throw to Penn State tight end Pat Freiermuth, but Josh Butler didn't locate the football.
Was this the first touchdown?
The first touchdown.
Should have been an interception.
It should have.
Should have been an interception.
It was a great throw, though. I credit to Pat. I mean, he lost. And then credit to Clifford and Freiermuth, because Clifford put it right on the money. Freiermuth, if you look at that play, Jack, again, Freiermuth saw it in the air and made the adjustment. He, like, looked at it before he crossed the goal line to catch it and said, okay, I need to pick up my pace here a little bit, and got under it nicely. But Josh Butler's sitting there, totally out of position, and touchdown Penn State. And then special teams. The blocked field goal attempt. I mean, what kind of blocking was that up front? And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Jack, but it was blocked by the face mask.
I'd already turned the game off at this point,
okay.
So I'd gone home. I don't know.
If I remember correctly, it was blocked by the face mask. That's the kind of push Penn State was able to get on that play. It's little things, man. Things that shouldn't be happening with players. I mean, Sowers, what is he? He's like a 6th-year guy.
15th-year senior.
Right. I mean, you can't make mistakes like that. So where does Michigan State go from here? I think we all know. A major change is going to happen. I feel it. I think this is Mark D'Antonio's final year. Who's going to replace Mark D'Antonio? We'll get to that kind of. We've been debating that. We can debate that later on this week, Jack. I'm not even going to go there right now. It's just too much. That's just too much on today's current sports. But we do know a change is going to happen, a major change. And then with that change, then you had the conversation of how long is it going to take for Michigan State to get back to the glory years, to get back to somewhere close to the glory years. That's a whole other conversation for another day. But right now, in the moment, looking at this 28-7 loss that drops Michigan State to 4-4 on the season, there is nothing positive that you can say about this football team right now. And I tried. I sat there for like 10 minutes at my desk. And I'm like, can't bring up that. No.
Daryl Stewart's a pretty good receiver when his quarterback throws the ball accurately to him.
Yeah, I said on Friday, I mean, Daryl Stewart coming into that game, I don't know where the stats sit right now, Jack, but coming into that game against Penn State, I mean, this is a guy who was the leading receiver in the Big Ten. You know,
he's still the leading receiver, even going into the Penn State game?
Going into the Penn State game,
yeah. He still was? Wow.
He was the leading receiver in the Big Ten Conference. I like Daryl a lot, but again, this off. And then, okay, let me one more thing. It's all coming to me now. This point is coming to me now before we hit this first break. I told myself I wanted to address this before we hit the first break, and that's the whole quarterback situation in the fourth quarter. Mark D'Antonio deciding to throw out Rocky Lombardi. Rocky goes out there, throws a pick, 1 for 6. And then he goes to Theo Day, and Theo Day didn't look bad to start. He was 2 of 3, 12 yards, I don't know. And then Coach D decides to pull Theo Day and throw back in Brian Lewerke. And I didn't understand it. So I wanted to hear what Coach D had to say after the game about that whole situation. You know, and why pull Theo Day when Theo came in, and it's not like, you know, he it's 3 passes, 2 of 3, 12 yards. And apparently Coach D saw something that he didn't like from Theo, didn't like it, and decided to go back with Brian Lewerke. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, okay, this offense is so bad right now that I don't, you could bring in a reincarnation of Joe Montana, and this offense would still be bad. That's how bad it is. It's bad in so many different areas right now that quarterback isn't the main problem. And I don't know how you go about fixing it. I think it's to the point right now of no return. I have no idea how you go about fixing this thing. The offense is a mess. And no, it's not a play calling issue.
No, exactly.
It's not a quarterback issue here. It's an all around offensive issue at this point.
Al, you want me to be honest with you? I don't think play calling is even the biggest issue.
No,
I think
not.
The biggest issue is the offensive line. They don't get any push up front, and they can't protect the passer.
The line isn't blocking, Jack. That's where I was going next. Okay, it's when you have that kind of combination, though, that's not the main problem. Play calling, that's the easy cap out. No, that's not the problem here. If the line isn't blocking, it has a tremendous trickle-down effect. And then you add on the fact that Brian Lewerke is not making good reads on coverage. I think he's forcing and pressing way too much. Receivers are also dropping passes. Okay? It's an all-around mess. Period. And sure, you look at Saturday, sure, the weather was horrible. There was nothing happening through the air. Grip on the ball isn't great. But still, though, I'm not letting Brian off the hook when he overshoots receivers by 5 yards, or when he throws the ball right at a defender's chest. I'm like, what are you looking at? So, and then, like you said, Jack, you bring up the line. You know, the line hasn't done any favors for this offense. A.J. Okuri, he finally returned. But Matt Allen, he went down with a leg injury. So there's still going to be problems moving forward. It's just bad. Basketball season. I think most Michigan State fans are like, all right, we've turned the page on Michigan State football. It's done. We all know it's a mess. Basketball season, number one team in the nation. Tom Izzo, go Spartans, let's play some basketball. That's where you're at right now.
Right, it's been a great start so far for the MSU basketball team. It's not like they're going to be without their shooting guard until January or anything.
I know, and that's another thing about Josh Wright. And by the way, I'm going to touch on all of that after. Things are just coming to me right now, Jack. Let me stop, because I could do a 3-hour show of just how depressing it is to be a Spartan fan right now. But let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'm going to read some of your comments. I'm going to address a few more things when it comes to Spartan athletics, and I'll touch on MSU Madness. That'll be a fun conversation, hopefully. that and more. You are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Alex comments and says, Al, you are not making any friends in the football program today. Ha, 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 ha. You know, I can't. I will never be a guy, a broadcaster, who just is going to sugarcoat things. I will never be that guy. You're going to get an honest opinion from me. I'm going to keep it 1,000. We can debate about it. You know, hey, we can go back and forth about it. But I'm going to be real with you guys. Okay? I'm not going to be that guy who says, well, look at the bright side. There's really no bright side here, folks. I'm just saying. And Coach D, if there is here, you know, if this is his final year, I hope that Michigan State fans out there can find that part in you that looks at what he has done for this program and pays him that respect, because he has done a lot when it comes to elevating this program. I mean, heck, he's the winningest MSU football coach of all time, and he deserves to go out on his own terms, all right? He doesn't deserve to be fired, okay? But, you know, I just sense, especially listening to him after Saturday's game, there's a sense of defeat, you know? And there's anytime you start saying, well, at least we're not 2-7. I mean, come on. You know, you're lowering the bar now. That's not what you want to hear. Two things I want to pass along to you guys. The World Series. Houston leads 3-2. Game 5's final yesterday, 7-1 in favor of Houston. Tomorrow, Houston can close things out 8:07 p.m. in Game 6. So I want to pass along that update to you in case you haven't been following the World Series. I must admit, I haven't watched one game. I'll probably watch on Tuesday. Also, big news coming out of the camp of Michigan State basketball, as it was announced today by head coach Tom Izzo that Draymond Green will be getting his number retired and raised to the rafters on December 3rd when the Spartans will play host to Duke for the ACC Big Ten Challenge. That's awesome stuff. Absolutely awesome. We knew that was coming, though, right? I mean, Draymond Green having the kind of success that he had here at Michigan State and then going on to the NBA and becoming the superstar that he is. His name is already on the program's weight room. He donated $3.1 million toward the constructing of that. Awesome, 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 awesome stuff. So, Draymond Green, a player that nobody expected to have the kind of NBA career that he has right now. That's pretty cool that his number 23 will be raised to the rafters in a pretty big game, Michigan State and Duke. Okay, Jack, any thoughts as to what I just said? I mean, you already chimed in during segment A. I don't know what more we can say about Michigan State football right now. It is ugly, and I know you're. We may touch on this tomorrow as to, you know, what will happen as far as who we would like to see take over this program. But we know right now that, you know, well, I'll ask you this question. I guess I can ask you this. You know, when you look at the Michigan State football schedule from here on out, I mean, that Illinois game is no longer an easy game. Do you see what the Fighting Lovie Smiths are doing right now? It's pretty amazing looking at Illinois right now, and they'll probably have a 3-game win streak coming into that Michigan State game, because I believe Illinois takes on Rutgers this weekend. So Illinois is not going to be an easy game. Then you take on Michigan. You may be staring at two more losses there, but you do close out the year against Rutgers and Maryland. How do you think Michigan State will close out the year?
With me not watching. No, just kidding, because I'll go and cover the games with you, obviously.
Well,
but
yeah, right.
I don't know. I don't really care, to be honest with you. I could very much see them losing to Black Santa 2 weeks from now when they take on the Illinois Fighting Irish. And, you know, the Michigan game, you never know, because it's a rivalry game, and he's going to be able to get his players up for it. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm pretty burnt out on it, to be honest with you, Al.
I am too, man. Black Santa, I like that. Yeah, that beard is serious, that Lovie Smith's rock.
It's incredible.
It's incredible, isn't it? It's pretty, yeah, you know, and everybody was joking about how Lovie Smith is a joke before this season began, and now, you know, he's doing a great job. You know, I joked with our former news director, Reginald Hardwick, who now works at Illinois Public Media out there now, and I said, man, maybe you were the the good luck charm that the school needed. But, you know, hey, how about Illinois? They're really doing a great job and playing well this season. So MSU Madness was fun, though. You know, speaking of Michigan State basketball, you know, it's always a fun night. You know, I love coming here, you know, on the Monday after that weekend of MSU Madness and telling you how it went. It went well. It was a fun night. You know, it's always an adrenaline rush for me. Of course, I'm used to talking to the public. You know, that's what I do. That's my job. But when you're that up close and personal in front of about, you know, 15,000 MSU fans, that's always a rush that I really enjoy and I love doing it. And Michigan State, if you weren't in the house on Friday night, Michigan State held an Avengers superhero theme. I'm a huge fan of the Avengers movies. So that was really cool to witness. The Michigan State women's basketball team, they came out, and when I announced them, they actually had costumes on. And they had, like, these alter egos that I announced. And, like the Black Panther, and then I would say her name. And, you know, oh, you know, the Flash, Terry McCutcheon, something like that. So it was really, really cool. So they actually dressed up and went all out. While the MSU men's basketball team, they just wore like Avengers kind of T-shirts. They didn't have any alter egos. But Susie Merchant, you know, next thing you know, I'm near the tunnel. This is the first year where I've been that close to the Michigan State players when they come out, because usually they come out from, you know, they come out in the crowd from one of the openings to each section. So you guys get an up-close and personal look at them. The women's basketball team didn't do that this year. So they came out the tunnel, and they had, like, fog machines and, you know, a machine that puts out sparks. So I was right next to them when they came out, which is different. And then next thing you know, I announced the players, the women's basketball players, and I look to my left, and this guy is coming in with this crazy, dope motorcycle. And I'm like, wow, Susie's not going to ride that thing, is she? She didn't ride it, but they brought it out. She just sat on it, and she came out in her alter ego, which was the Black Widow, which is played by Scarlett Johansson in the Avengers movie. So awesome, awesome costume that she had on. She came out and said hello to the crowd. So the men, then I announced the men, and there was one hiccup. For those that were there on Friday, there was one hiccup that happened that night where I got word that the men's basketball team was ready to come down the aisle and they were ready for their introduction. So I get the word from Jim Donatelli of MSU Athletics. He's like the guy that I look at. You know, he's the organizer of the whole thing, and he's the guy that I look at for the thumbs up to say, all right, Al, start the introductions. So I got the thumbs up from Jim, and I'm starting my spiel. The next thing you know, David Thomas, you know, former MSU men's basketball player, now on staff with the MSU men's basketball team, as the director of basketball operations for MSU men's hoops, I he's tapping me on the side as I'm talking to 15,000 fans saying, Al, they're not ready. They're not ready. They're not ready. So I'm like, I'm all right. I'm like, two things are going on. I'm hearing him say, Al, they're not ready. And I'm still talking. And then I'm trying to figure out, okay, how do I get out of this? So he's like, Al, stop talking. They're not ready. They're not ready. And I'm still talking. And then I'm like, okay, I just have to shut up right now. So I just shut up. And I stopped talking. Then I'm like, okay, hold on. They're not ready. So you probably noticed that little hiccup. DT David Thomas, you know, he's like, Al, they're still walking to the platform. Sorry, we got false information. So that was the minor hiccup that happened. And then, you know, there was this about like a minute passed. And DT's like, okay, I think they're good now. And then I said, okay, I think we're ready now. And then we proceeded from there. But, yeah, that was the only hiccup the whole night. And the players came down, and they had a lot of fun, of course. And then Tom Izzo came out dressed in this crazy – you've probably seen pictures by now – this crazy, huge Hulk suit where he's – I don't know how he got anything. It opens up from the back, and he steps in, and he's on stilts. And I didn't know if it was being, you know, electronically, you know, manned by somebody – that moved Izzo, but no, he was actually on stilts moving his legs as he slowly walked onto the court. It was such a big costume, and Izzo is so fun. You got to love Tom. He has fun with this thing every single year. He's so personable. You know, he's sitting there as he comes off the court, kids are waving at him, and he's waving to the kids and taking pictures with everybody. You got to love that about Tom. He had so much fun that night. He always has a lot of fun during MSU Madness, and he realizes the MSU brand. He respects how many fans love this team and love him, and he will take time out of everybody screaming his name, and he will go through and say hello to you, shake your hand, take a picture. It's amazing how he does it. It really is. But Tom had a great, great time last night, on Friday night. And then also a guy who I didn't know much about, Quinn 92, was your musical performance. He went to Michigan State, and went on to sign with Columbia Records as a rapper, and has a pretty good following. And they actually brought in 400 Michigan State students who agreed to come out on the court to create like this concert vibe in front of the stage. 400 Michigan State students. I was sitting there getting ready for, to introduce Quinn, 92, and all of a sudden I look to my left and all these Michigan State students are next to me waiting to go and run out on the court. And I'm like, whoa, what in the world? So Jim was telling me, like, yeah, we opened up the call for, students to come out if you wanted to and just come out on court and just vibe with Quinn 92 for a 20-minute set. So, and Quinn wasn't bad. He had some tracks that I really liked. There was one point where the lights went out, and, the new thing at concerts now are to flip on your smartphone light, the flashlight, that you have on your smartphone, and they turn out all the lights, and everybody around the Breslin Center put on their smartphone flashlights, and Tom Izzo came out and encouraged the crowd to do that, and Tom Izzo figured out how to put his flashlight on his smartphone. And Tom had a lot of fun. It was a fun night, and much thanks and much love to all of the Spartan fans who showed up. And a special shout out to Steven, Ben, Stephanie. I saw you guys. They yelled out, they tune in every day on the Facebook page. They yelled my name out right before, the night ended. So great seeing our current sports listeners on Friday night. So I had a great, 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 great time. All right. So there is some positivity on this Monday edition of Current Sports as we try and put Michigan State football in it, and it's on its proper shelf right now, and look forward to the Michigan State basketball season. Also want to note that today is Michigan State Women's Basketball Media Day. I'll be down there around 5:30 to interview a few of the players, and Susie Merchant will take the podium at 6 p.m. So we'll interview the players for about 30 minutes. Susie will talk at 6, and we will have that coverage available at WKAR.org and Facebook.com/WKAR News later on this evening. And we'll, of course, roll in a few of those conversations and sound bites on the Tuesday edition of Current Sports. All right, so let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Monday edition of Current Sports with weekend winners.
Thing about sports is you play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, you hear the introduction music there. You're the best around. Shout out to the Karate Kid. Who were the Current Sports weekend winners? Well, I got three of them for you. Number one, I'm going to go Detroit Lions here. The Detroit Lions, I know They were playing the New York Football Giants, not a great NFL team. But a win is a win. And anytime you can get a win in the National Football League, especially if your name is the Detroit Lions, it's a great weekend, all right? The Lions sitting right now at 3-3-1, 2-2 at home. They now will move on to play the Oakland Raiders this weekend, a team that I think the Lions can be competitive against and possibly win against. So, you know, the Lions right now, they've impressed me. Even though they've had some close losses, the key word there is close. They've been competitive. They've been fun and entertaining to watch. And a win is a win. So shout out to the Detroit Lions. Number two, I am going with the Michigan Wolverines. The Michigan Wolverines, a team that had been reeling and needed some kind of pick-me-up. And they get a blowout victory against Notre Dame. I did choose them to win, but I didn't think they were going to win in that kind of fashion. 45-14, it was total domination by Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines as the Wolverines now move to 6-2 on the season. And last but certainly not least, my man Tiger Woods. Eldrick had an amazing outing out in Japan, and he now ties Sam Snead for the most victories in PGA Tour history. He got win number 82 out in Japan. And I watched every round that I could. Actually, on Saturday night, I kid you not, I stayed up until 4 a.m. and I watched his third round live. Well, his final round, actually. That was his final round live. It finished up on Sunday. And I watched it live just about every single hole. I stayed up until like 4:30 a.m. and Tiger Woods able to get that win. He's looking great. His approach game and his putting game is what is really impressing me.
So we're doing weekend winners right now, correct?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so I have one weekend winner, or weekend loser, I should say.
Yeah. Well,
it's you for staying up until 4 a.m. to watch Tiger in Japan.
I am that big of a fan of this man, dude. I love watching Tiger Woods play. What can I say, man? All right. Hope you have a better Monday than this show was.
It
was
4 a.m.?
4 a.m., dude.
4 a.m.
It was Japan time, so yeah. See you Tuesday, folks, and be easy, people.